Yesterday, of course, was our walking through the New Testament, and those who came said that they thoroughly enjoyed it. It had been very helpful. But this signpost was already up yesterday, ready for today, because I've tried to get myself a little bit organised. And Andrew, who was leading the session, turned it round because he said, that's really confusing because Joppa's not over there at all. Joppa's over there. And we were thinking about this being the north, the south, the east and the west. And we were looking at where all the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan and going down into the Dead Sea over there. And that was the Mediterranean. And so Joppa actually is over there, if you think of that as the map. So it was a good day. For those of you that weren't able to get here, I really, really would commend that seminar to you. And do speak to people who've been on it. It was a wonderful day, and it's enthused many people who want to do the walking through the Old Testament now. So that's something that we're going to be thinking about. Maybe, possibly. Elizabeth's got quite a few grey hairs from this one, so I think we need to give her time to recover, really, before we start thinking about anything else. But so this morning, a wonderful day, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about today. Are you excited? It's a fantastic day, isn't it? To welcome two people into church membership is really, really exciting. And maybe you perhaps sat there and you're thinking, well, why bother being a church member? Well, you know, I was thinking about all the perks that you get. You get your funeral service free. But then when I thought about that, I thought, funeral service, death. And then there is a death, isn't there? Death of self. That whole sense of being a new creation. And you know, within independent Methodism, at one time there was this big symbol that all the churches used to have on their papers or all their publicity or whatever, and it used to say, free church, free ministry. And a lot of people thought that meant that it doesn't cost anything. You know, it was a free church, free ministry, and so it's all for free. It was that connotation of free. But actually, of course, the free church meant we were part at that time of the Free Church Federal Council, the Council of Free Churches, as opposed to the established churches. And the free ministry meant not that we weren't paid, although we're not paid, of course, but it didn't mean that. It meant that we weren't under all the legislation and so forth that goes with the established church. Yet we are still under, of course, the connection of churches. So I don't want to give the impression that we're just off doing our own thing. But there's also another cost as well, isn't there? The cost to Christ of what he paid in order that we might enjoy that freedom. That freedom to know God, that freedom to know that our sin is forgiven, that freedom to be restored in a right relationship with God once more, that freedom to know that we can come to him, that we can pray to him, that the curtain has been torn. You know, it was torn from top to bottom. It wasn't torn from bottom to top. It was God who tore the curtain in the temple so that the access was made clear, that people could go in. And all this is part and parcel and tied up within this whole aspect of church membership. Because if you read New Testament scripture, throughout it you will find that it was expected that when a person became a believer, then they became established in a local assembly. Whatever term you wish to choose to call that, whether it was a church or an assembly or a gathering, that was expected, that was what it was. We were there for that mutual benefit of one another. And that's what it means to be a covenant people. A covenant people means that we covenant with one another. Not that we come to church for what we can get out of it. We come to church for what we can offer to God, what we can offer to one another, and what we can receive from God, and what we can receive from one another. So this morning in our service, Scott bared his heart to us as a fellowship in what he does through the week, in his, what some people would term his paid job, and bared his soul in asking us for prayer. And as a fellowship, we need to be behind him and everyone else, behind him in prayer, behind him in supporting, not only in his work that he does within the electrical thing, but as a family, as a father, as a husband, within his work within the church. All of these things, as a church, we should be there ready and recognising that one isn't separate from the other, one isn't better than the other, but all of it is part of our life and our worship and our service to God. You see, the whole point about being a local assembly is that it is a spiritual union. It's not like joining the local chess club, you know, or signing up for the Women's Guild, or even signing up to be the library, you know, so you can go and borrow books because you're part of the library. It's different. Being part of a church, in terms of membership, being part of the church membership, it's not only, as I say, what I receive, but what I can give. It's that being built up and being nurtured in our faith, but also in that contributing to the faith and needs of others. And it's very important too that we realise that we don't become a church member in order to be part of what the local church is. I'll say that again. We don't become a member in order to be part of what the local church is, but we become a member with a desire to be a part of what the church was designed by God to be. And here at Roman Road, we would openly acknowledge that the church is not yet how God designed us to be. We're not yet at that place where we can freely share with one another deeply the things that are on our hearts. We're not yet at that place where we can be open with one another, completely open with one another. We're on a journey, and that's okay, but that's why we're not joining the church to be part of the church as it is, but we're joining the church to be part of the church on its journey to being what God created and intended the church to be. It's not only Roman Road that this is the case. Many churches are quite different from what they are to what God intended the church to be. It's been a really busy week, lots of things happening this week. And God has been speaking in many different ways. And this week I got an email from LICC, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And this email that I received said, was I to beware of FOMO, F-O-M-O, FOMO. I don't know if you've heard of it. Anybody heard of FOMO? Sounds a bit like MRSA, doesn't it? One of those superbugs that could be a killer. Well, apparently, research done by marketing strategist Dan Herman, who's the person who claims to have identified and named this particular phenomenon, FOMO, shows that around 70% of adults experience FOMO. Now, our average congregation over the last few weeks has been about 39 adults. So that's about 27 of us here are likely to have, you know, be in contact or have experienced or have FOMO. FOMO is the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out, FOMO. Psychologist Arnie Kozak states that FOMO happens when we invalidate the experience we are having because we are obsessed with the ones that we are not having. It happens when we invalidate the experience we are having because we're obsessed with the ones that we're not having. In other words, we can be so busy watching what others are doing or involved in that we miss out on what is happening in our own lives. And these days, with increasing social media, we don't just know about another event that's going on, although sometimes I query how much people do know is going on, but that's another issue altogether. But we don't just know about another event that's going on. We can see pictures of it, and we can be updated on it straight away, can't we? You know, somebody said to me the other day, is it all right if I take a couple of pictures of your house? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And then they said, don't worry, I won't put it on Facebook. And I'd never even occurred to me. I mean, I don't do Facebook, as you all know, but that they'd even, you know, that would be a possibility. And well, that set me off on a whole other sort of thing, but anyway. But, you know, you can know that there's a party going on somewhere, and then you can sit there and watch the pictures and think, oh, that's a better party than what I was doing this week. And that's what FOMO is all about. Now, FOMO can affect the small decisions, or, you know, I should have gone out on that walk because they seem to be having a great time and I've just done this. But FOMO can also affect the larger life decisions. I won't put my roots down in this community because I probably won't stay here long. I'll keep my eye open for a better property or a better job or whatever. There's that sense in which instead of experiencing the present, we're always looking at what other people are doing and assessing whether that's better than what's happening to us at the moment. And it's part of that of us not realising and accepting that we are temporal people, that we can only be in one place at one time. Ministers meeting on Wednesday that I was having, and I was telling them all about the walking through the New Testament, and one of the other ministers said, yeah, I could be in five places on Saturday, but you know, we're only able to be in one, so you have to choose which is the best. So why am I putting all this in here when really we're supposed to be thinking about church membership? I'm putting it in because FOMO is prevalent within our society, but it's also in the church today. Let's see what's going on elsewhere. They've got a better preacher tonight. Let's go over there. Oh, their music group, that's absolutely fantastic. Let's go on down there. The list is endless. But you know, when we've got this kind of an attitude, when we're always looking somewhere else because of what we think that we're missing, then we lose the whole sense of what church membership is all about. Membership doesn't mean that we can never, ever attend anywhere else. Of course not. Indeed, we're encouraged to meet with other Christians, to explore and discover other ways of worship, to see what God is doing, to listen to what he is saying to the churches, but always with a view to bringing that information back to the local body, to be able to share it with a view to building up and encouraging, not so that, well, I'm going off there so I'll have a better time than anybody else. I'll go off there and I will bring back what I have discovered to share with my brothers and sisters in the church where God has placed me. You see, it's like I was saying at the beginning, it's all about death. It's about death to self. Death to what I want. Death to what, you know, I'm not the centre of the universe. I is slap bang in the middle of sin. You know? It's about God. It's about who he wants me to be, what he's wanting me to do, how he wants me to live, the attitudes that he is wanting to have in me by the power of his Holy Spirit. And the way to overcome and defeat FOMO is to stop looking at what may be and relinquish the control of directing our own lives. So, you know, well, I'm going to do this job and then I'll start looking for another job and then I'll move somewhere else, or, well, I'll buy a property here and then I'll look somewhere else there. All of that is directing our own lives, and it's to focus on what God has done for us in Jesus. To lay down the reflections of the past, the possibilities of the future, and simply to ask, Lord, how can I serve you where you have placed me today? Never mind about what's gone. Never mind about what's to come. How can I serve you today? Whether it's changing nappies, whether it's ordering £200,000 worth of alarms or whatever, you know, whether it's big or small, it doesn't matter. How can I serve you in what I do? And this is what church membership is all about. Because to be actively involved in a local church, we are motivated by spiritual concerns. Within the Independent Methodist Church membership, there is a declaration of faith, a commitment and covenanting with others in the local body of Christ, our belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. From that moment when we ask Jesus to be Lord in our life, when we acknowledge what he's done on the cross at Calvary, when we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe that you paid the price for my sin on the cross at Calvary. Come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart. From that moment when we come to Jesus and ask him to be our Savior, then go on to ask him into every area of our life, because those two things very often don't go together. Very often there's bits that we hold back, but then when we're from that point of asking Jesus to be Lord in every area of our life, we come into the fullness of that Christian faith. But from the moment of asking Jesus to be Saviour, we are part of the church universal. And that's why many people think, well, it's not important to be a church member, because I'm a member of the church. You know, I know Jesus, these are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's very true. We are part of the church universal. But a membership is a sign of something to identify with, and also a willingness to stand shoulder to shoulder with others so that we're not in isolation. And you know, very often that picture is used of a coal. I think most of us probably remember coal fires. There might be one or two that don't, but you know, you used to have the coals there, they'd be burning away, and as it got down and there was just the embers left, they'd still be red. And that you could still set, you know, they'd still be warm and you could still keep them going. But if you took a coal out from that, very soon it would go cold and it would be dead. But you could still fan the others back into flame. And that's a picture often to have given people who want to go it on their own. I don't need anybody else. I don't need a church. Me and God, we've got a great thing going. We really understand each other, and God speaks to me and I speak to him and everything's hunky-dory. But you know, the enemy runs round like a prowling lion, looking for somebody to devour. Elizabeth was teaching the children this morning in Acts about the spiritual armour that God has given us, because we're in a spiritual battle. And yeah, okay, we might be all right most of the time, but there's going to come a point where the enemy will seek to attack. And in that point, we will need others to pray for us. And I know the value. This week I've known the value of being able to ring somebody up and say, well, more than one person, but to say to them, please, will you pray for me? This is a difficult thing that I've got to do this particular time. Please, will you pray? And I know the value of that. And that is part of church membership, because it's that being aligned with one another, of being together, of standing together one with another. Membership is not to be undertaken lightly. Our membership explored course that we do is there because it offers an opportunity to look at the aspects of Christian faith, in addition to looking at the statement of faith and practice of how we do church within independent Methodism. And it's not a foregone conclusion that if you start the course that you become a member at the end of it. For some people they say, this isn't right for me at the moment, and that's fine. But for others they say, yeah, this is for me. This is what I believe in. This is what I want to be part of. And having reached that decision, they want to go forward and opening themselves up to God's anointing for the particular place and purpose that God has for them in that local church. Because whilst we are the body of Christ within the church universal, there is also the local body of Christ within the individual church fellowships. And within those fellowships, Christ is still the head, but we still need the different parts within the body. So we still need leaders, we still need servants, we still need administrators, we need people with all the different gifts that you'll find in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians, all of those giftings. And God will anoint those who have aligned themselves to his people. Because it's part of that membership that releases the anointing. But there's also another side of it. There's also that sense of protection. And I believe that that is very, very important. Because when we're part of a church, when we become a member of a church, then we come under the covering of the eldership of that church. And there is that sense of identification. And so when we go out, we can say, yes, I'm a member of. So we're not going out and somebody looks at, oh, yeah, well, you know them, they're just a rolling stone. They go about from this place and that place. They're not committed anywhere. But we can say, no, I'm part of this fellowship and I come under the leading and guiding of the eldership and leadership within that place. And that is a protection. This booklet is the booklet that we use, Church Christian Foundations, as we do the Membership Explored course. But it states that church membership is one of the ongoing. So it's not the only one, and it's not after that there's nothing else to do. It's one of the ongoing steps of the Christian life. It's also one of the privileges of being a Christian, as it joins you to a family which is there to love, support, and include you. And so it's part of that covenant relationship that I mentioned before. Responsibility for running the local independent Methodist church is the church meeting. We have a leadership team, we have elders, but ultimately, the running, the decisions within the church come from the church meeting. And the church meeting is made up of church members. Its privilege brings responsibility. No one is higher or lower than another. We all stand together. We have different functions, but we are all together within independent Methodism. That's what we believe, and that's part of our statement of faith and practice. We have a leadership to lead the church, but the final decision, a bit like you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Leaders can say, this is what we believe that God is saying. This is how we believe that God is wanting us to move forward. But the ultimate decision lies with the church membership. And that's why it's absolutely crucial that you know that your church membership is made up of people whose hearts are given over to God. And we never, ever want to be in that position where we say, oh, yeah, you've been coming a few weeks, you know. You want to be a church member, that's fine. We'll just make it boost our numbers, makes us look good, we've got more members. Because the church member has a responsibility for the decisions that are made within the church. And therefore, church membership, it is a huge thing. And it isn't something to be undertaken lightly at all. One of the promises that we make, and Sian and David will be making today, is to be active in attending and taking part in meetings. Because you see, it's great to come along to a meeting and to sit there and say, oh yeah, I've been to all the church meeting. And all this discussion's going on around and you don't say anything. And so decisions are made and you've not said anything. But actually you don't agree with it. And then afterwards you come out and you think, well, I don't agree with that and I don't think that that's right in this. That's not the way for it to be done. The place for these things to be discussed is within the church meeting. It's the church meeting that makes the decisions. And if these voices aren't expressed within the church meeting, then other leaders, other members, don't have the opportunity to consider that different viewpoint. And that's why it's so very important for members to take an active part. And if there is something that we don't agree with, or something that we don't understand, or something that we think, I'm really not sure about this, somehow it don't fit right with me, then let us say it. Because the purpose of the church meeting is to discern the will and purpose of God. And within our church meeting, we seek to discern what God is saying to the church. And God can speak through any of us. He doesn't just speak through the leaders. He speaks through any one of us. And therefore, we have a vital responsibility to be attending those meetings and to speak out in them and to share what we believe and what we think and to be open. We might not always be right. I know I'm definitely not always right, you know. But it's as we seek together that we hear what God is saying. And meanwhile, we seek to love and to support non-church members. We certainly don't make a distinction, an obvious distinction within our worship and within our services. Oh yeah, you know, the members sit on this table and the non-members sit over there. It's none of that, obviously. We seek to love and to support. We seek to love and share Jesus with our community. But there is no accountability for non-church members. There is no discipline for non-church members. And there is no protection for non-church members. In this booklet, it just shares what membership obligations are, and they sum it up a lot better than what I can do, so I'm going to share these with you. One, in becoming part of a church, each person needs to be willing to fulfill a role according to his or her gifts. All members, whatever their gifts, complement each other and are needed to make the whole body function effectively. Church members are necessary. Number two, it is essential that members work under the church's appointed leaders and accept the decisions which they make. This also applies to leaders of the various sections of the church. Yes, we need to be willing to be led, but as I say, ultimately, those final decisions lie with the church members. Number three, members' meetings are held from time to time, and all members have the opportunity to share in the church's planning and running by attending the meetings and using both voice and vote. We seldom vote in our meetings. We seek to find the common voice. But as I say, if people aren't sharing, then that sometimes can be led askew. Each church determines the age at which adult membership is defined. And number four, above all, love is the cement which binds God's people together. Everyone in the church fellowship has a vital part to play in the process of loving fellow members through caring, welcoming, giving hospitality, practicing forgiveness, and bearing each other's burdens. These are the obligations of membership. And in our Bible reading today, you're probably thinking, well, crikey, she's not even got to the Bible reading yet, so what's she going to be saying about that? But we heard about a very special lady, and it is the appointed reading for today, and it is part of our series that we're doing, but also I believe it fits in very well with what we're thinking about. This lady, she had two names, Tabitha, which was the Jewish one, or Aramaic, and Dorcas, which was Greek. Now then, those of you that were here yesterday, what did this make her? She was a Hellenistic Jew, wasn't she? Because there was the Greek and the Jew, that's right. So both names mean the same. Tabitha and Dorcas both mean gazelle, which I think is a beautiful word, isn't it? You know, this. Anyway, there we go. I won't go into that now. But anyway, so interesting point, for those of you that like useful pieces of information, she is the only woman named in Scripture to be specifically called a disciple. And she was obviously held in very, very high regard. She was a perfect example of a church member. She served others, not to earn favour with God, you know, not to think, oh, well, I've got five ticks this week because I've done this, that and the other, but a means of encouraging and serving others, and from a heart that was totally turned over to God. She was truly loved by those she served. You can see that in the reaction when she died. You know, they were weeping and wailing. Now, I know that that is the common, when somebody died, it's their common form of mourning. But when they called for Peter to come, and then they were showing him the garments that she'd made and said, look, you know, she was sincerely loved. This woman, probably a widow, was really genuinely loved by the people whom she served. Peter, as we'd heard, was nearby in Lydda, and so they went to him and they summoned him. And I wonder, when Christine was reading that passage, did it remind you of an incident with Jesus? Because last night I kept going round in my name, and I thought, I can remember being at a Women's World Day of Prayer, and it being about this Talitha Kum. And little girl get up. And Jesus, it was Jairus' daughter. Interesting, that was Talitha with an L. Coom, which means, translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. Peter says to this lady, because the little girl was 12 years old, says to this lady, Tabitha, with a B, get up. But Peter was one of only two or three disciples that went with Jesus. Jesus just took a couple of his disciples away and took them upstairs into this room when he prayed with the little girl. And he put everybody else outside. And that's what Peter did in this situation. He got rid of all the mourners and all the rest of it. It was peaceful and quiet. And he got down and he prayed. And then he said to her, Tabitha, get up. He raised her to life. Did he? Well, she was raised to life, but it was by the power of the Holy Spirit in Peter. And this passage should so excite us, because I've been talking about death, you know, and it is death to self. But then we're thinking about resurrection life here, aren't we? And that living the new life in Christ. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that brought Tabitha back to life again. And that change in Peter, we've been reminding ourselves, the sheets are here if you haven't already got one, to just think about how Peter changed from that frightened disciple behind closed doors, now preaching and even raising people from the dead. It's not Peter, of course, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in him. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to anyone who puts their faith and trust in him, which means that, hallelujah, it's available to us today. Now, isn't that fantastic? That is something to get excited about, you know? So, when was the last person you raised somebody to life? You know, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And it made me think, it really made me think, you know, that sometimes the church is dead. It really is dead, and it needs the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us alive. You know, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in church. It is not sufficient to keep coming week after week and to sing the songs and pray the prayers and go home again. It's not enough. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works through church members. Can work in anyone, I know that. But we're building up the body of Christ. God uses the membership, those who've committed themselves to him, those who've committed themselves to the local body of Christ. He will speak through anyone as he chooses. We don't put blocks on him. But this is what God is wanting. This is how he's wanting us to move forward. I hope you're excited about these two people, because I am. I'm thrilled to bits. You know, I'm trusting that you are too, because I know, having gone through this course with them, I know that they're open to the Holy Spirit. I know that they're wanting to seek God. I know that they're wanting to serve him. Membership is not to be what the local church is, but to desire to be a part of what the local church was intended to be. And I believe that that's what David and Sean are wanting to do. I covet your prayers for them. I ask that you will pray for them. That you will pray that God will lead them into those areas of service that he has already prepared for them to do. Read that in Ephesians. God has gone ahead and prepared us for works that he's already prepared for us to do. Yesterday we were thinking about the 400 years silence between the Old and the New Testament. And Andrew said, you know, the people weren't listening. And when people don't listen to God, God stops speaking. If God is not speaking to us, then we need to ask ourselves that question. Are we really listening to him? I looked at the prophecy book that we keep in the drawer in the vestry there. There's been nothing written in there since 2011. That is an indictment to us. How much do we expect God to speak? But how much are we listening when God speaks? How much do we recognize that that is God that is saying something and put it down in the prophecy book? This is God speaking. How much are we expecting him to speak to us when we come week by week? Are we coming seeking to listen to him and be enthused and take something away that will keep us during the week? The prayer meeting is to be the powerhouse of the church. Same few. Faithfully meet week by week. It's the powerhouse of the church. What is God saying to us about our prayer life as a church? Membership requires surrender of self, of giving to others, seeking the mind of Christ together. It's not about manipulation. It's not about, I want my way. That's the spirit of witchcraft. We're not having that. We're standing against that steadfastly. That will not be. As we come together, we seek unity within the spirit. We seek unity to know the mind of Christ together. We build one another up in the faith. We pray for one another. We nurture one another. We seek God's empowerment. And then together we share and seek to share that truth with the community where God has placed us. I believe that God is speaking to his church. Question is, are we listening? Or are we too caught up in our own affairs? Yesterday, there was a reference to God sending the message out from the Jews to the Gentiles, and that was quite radical thinking. It was also about telling us about the people that we call the wise men or know as the Magi, and the root of that coming from magicians, and all that was quite a new bit of thinking for me. And it made me think, how would I respond if some New Age people came into church today? Now, that's a conversation not for this morning, but it certainly led me to think about it. So that asks the question, you see, what is God saying to us today? What are our reactions like? I was in a meeting earlier this week, and I know that I have this tendency to be put off by first see somebody. And what this person was saying for me was coloured by how he was dressed and the earring that he had in his ear. And you know, this is something I need to address personally. But what is God saying to us about how we are with one another? Baptists are revisiting civil partnerships and marriage. What is God saying to the church? Rob Bell, a speaker at Audacious on Tuesday, was promoting his new books, and in that encouraging people to think about how we connect with today's society. God is speaking. And we need to know what God is saying, not just to Roman Road, but what God is saying to the church today. That was why, you see, the early Christians came under so much persecution, because what they were saying was completely radical to what had gone before. And we all like our comfort zone, and we all like what we know. But if God should be saying something different, are we prepared to listen and to pray and to think it through and to work out whether it is God or whether it's not of God? We all need discernment in that. Peter's experience at Tabitha's home was a turning point in his ministry to the Gentiles. Tabitha was a lovely woman who served others sacrificially. And today there are Dorcas societies in this land who are local groups, usually in churches, with their mission is of providing clothing to the poor. We're going to receive Sian and David into membership. We're going to pray for them. We're going to seek how God wants to use them in this fellowship, but also how God wants to bless them through being in this fellowship. But also in our service today, we don't normally do this, but in our service today, there is also opportunity for existing members to renew our vows as well. Because it's good to remind ourselves on occasions what we have promised God that we will do. So today, God is speaking. Are we listening? God calls us to be part of his church. Are we willing to live sacrificially with one another, to covenant together, to seek his kingdom on earth? Amen. And as we just think